Welcome to News with Nick, December 19th, 2019. Oh, there's two 19s in the date. That's pretty cool. It is the day after the impeachment of President Trump. Are you guys excited? So last night, the House of Representatives all got together and they were like, Trump did two things bad. He abused his power and also he obstructed something. He obstructed the House from doing the investigation or whatever. These are the articles of impeachment that were brought from, I guess, the Justice Committee to the House. I'm not 100% sure how this works, but I'm like 40%, which I think is about 39% more than the average man. So they go to the House, they debate for literally like 8 hours. I get to work and I turn on CNN.com and they're debating, right? They're going back and forth. The Democrats are saying stuff like, the president should not be allowed to get away with breaching his oath of office. And the Republicans are like, what the heck? He didn't do anything, right? And they just different versions of those two stories. All right, so finally, the vote comes, and they vote on both articles of impeachment, and the House votes, all the Republicans vote no on both of them, and all of the Democrats vote yes on both of them, except for two Democrats on one article and three on the other. So there are two defectors from the Democrats on one and three defectors on the other. That doesn't matter. The Democrats still control the House, so the majority wins in an impeachment vote. So now, all the headlines say, Trump impeached, Trump impeached. But nobody knows what that means, right? So I told someone, I'm like, Trump just got impeached. And the person goes, what does that mean? Does that mean who's going to be president? Who's going to be president? Is it Hillary? No, no, it's not Hillary. It would never be because she doesn't have any office within the chain of presidential power. But also, Trump's not leaving office. He just got impeached. Now, the news throws this word out there like impeaching a president is the end-all be-all. No, it's the start, pretty much the start of the process. It's like getting charged with a crime. And then the crime goes to trial, which is in the Senate. And then the Senate doesn't actually even have a procedure for the trial. They make it up as they go. Or they have to like pre-negotiate what the rules of the trial are going to be. But there's no set. Like in a criminal justice system, there's the prosecution and the defense and the witnesses and the... No. Apparently, an impeachment trial is just like, we're going to have a trial and then we're going to vote. So nobody really knows what's going to happen. But the Senate is controlled by the Republicans. And much less that, I think it takes 2/3 vote anyway to convict the president of the articles of impeachment that he was impeached on. And he's not going to be convicted or removed from office. So Clinton, a few years ago, he was impeached for his lying to the grand jury thing, right? But he went to the Senate and they acquitted him. So it's basically like it doesn't even count, right? Because like if you're charged with murder, like Casey Anthony, and then you're acquitted, it's like it doesn't count. You're like, I'm not a murderer, right? So Bill Clinton, technically, he's not a grand jury liar. And Trump, after all this is over, is not a... whatever he was. I don't even know what he did. Just kidding. So he calls Ukraine. He says, hey, Joe Biden sucks. Do you guys want to investigate him? And they go, I don't know. All right. So Trump, right before the impeachment went through, wrote a 6-page letter. Dear Madam Speaker, I write to express my strongest and most powerful protest against the partisan impeachment crusade being pursued by the Democrats in the House of Representatives. This impeachment represents an unprecedented and unconstitutional abuse of power by Democrat lawmakers, unequaled in nearly 2.5 centuries of American legislative history. The articles of impeachment introduced by the House Judiciary Committee are not recognizable under any standards of constitutional theory, interpretation, or jurisprudence. They include no crimes, no misdemeanors, and no offenses whatsoever. You have cheapened the importance of the very ugly word impeachment. So he starts off like, okay, a little presidential. And then the letter devolves into using strange verbs like, or strange adjectives, I suppose, like the very ugly word. By proceeding with your invalid impeachment, you are violating your oaths of office, you are breaking your allegiance to the Constitution, and you are declaring open war on American democracy. You dare to invoke the Founding Fathers in pursuit of this election nullification scheme, yet your spiteful actions display unfettered contempt for America's founding, and your egregious conduct threatens to destroy that which our founders pledged their very lives to build. Even worse than offending the Founding Fathers, you are offending Americans of faith, huh? By continually saying, I pray for the president, when you know this statement is not true, unless it is meant in a negative sense, it is a terrible thing you are doing, but you will have to live with it, not I. Okay, so he goes on for several pages. We can't read it all, but it's amazing. People have to look up the letter from President Trump related to the impeachment. He says, you know full well that Vice President Biden used his office and $1 billion of U.S. aid money to coerce Ukraine into firing the prosecutor who was digging into the company, paying his son millions of dollars. You know this because Biden bragged about it on video. Biden openly stated, I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion. There's too many quotes here. Biden openly stated that he said, I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion. He looked at them and said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor is not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch, he got fired. So even Joe Biden admitted just days ago in an interview with NPR that it looked bad. Now you are trying to impeach me by falsely accusing me of doing what Joe Biden has admitted he actually did. Oh my goodness. He's like, this is amazing. He's like, no, Joe did it. Come on. So it's way too many pages. He says here, there is nothing I would rather do than stop referring to your party as the do-nothing Democrats. Unfortunately, I don't know that you will ever give me a chance to do so. After 3 years of unfair and unwarranted investigations, $45 million spent, 18 angry Democrat prosecutors, the entire force of the FBI, headed by leadership now proven to be totally incompetent and corrupt, you have found nothing. Few people in high position could have endured or passed this test. You do not know, nor do you care, the great damage and hurt you have inflicted upon wonderful and loving members of my family. You conducted a fake investigation upon democratically elected president of the United States, and you are doing it yet again. Great. So his point is, and everyone's point from the right, is that, oh, since day one, the Democrats have been like, we need to impeach Trump. And then 3 years later, they go, oh, he said something we can impeach him on. Right? So, how are you supposed to trust that they were like, because a lot of them are coming in and are like, I regret that I have to vote yes to impeach Trump. It's a sad day in America. It's hard for me to do this. It's hard for me to stand up for what is right. But I'm going to vote to impeach the president. It's not hard. It was not hard. It's actually hard to do the opposite if you're a Democrat right now. So what I was saying during the impeachment is that if every Democrat voted yes and every Republican voted no, pretty much, how are we supposed to trust the process at all? How are we supposed to know that any what is true at all? All we learned from days of testimony and evidence gathering is that Democrats will vote against the president and Republicans will vote for the president. There was a talk show that was like, sick of this. They're like, we got too much of this impeachment stuff. We need some sort of distraction. So here's what they ended up saying live on air.
All right, Chuck Bono, Julie Hayden here a little after 1:30 talking about the never-ending impeachment of Donald Trump. Yeah, you wish for a nice school shooting to interrupt the monopoly.
Don't even say that. No, don't even say that. Don't call us.
Which no one would be hurt.
A conservative Denver talk radio show host was canceled Wednesday after he wished for a nice school shooting while speaking on air, a comment that brought quick backlash from families of Colorado shooting victims. Is every shooting victim in Colorado or what? on Wednesday evening, 710 Canis? That's the name of their radio station, KNUS, posted on Twitter that Bonnewell's program was canceled. Given the history of school violence that has plagued our community, 710 Canis confirms that an inappropriate comment was made on the Chuck and Julie show by co-host Chuck Bonnewell. A programming decision was made to end the program immediately. All right, so don't say stuff like that. All right, let's jump back over to the impeachment. So there were three Democrats that voted no on one of the articles, two on the other, and one of the two was like, he's a Democrat, but he said that he's going to change his affiliation to Republican. So all of the Democrats are like, he's not really a Democrat. He kind of even admitted it. That leaves only one Democrat that's a true Democrat, like by name or whatever, or saying they are, that voted no on both articles. So let's see what this person has to say. Republican Colin Peterson has issued the following statement on his vote of two articles of impeachment against President Trump. He says, throughout my career, I have worked from the guiding belief that only through bipartisan action can we address the country's most pressing challenges. At the beginning of the impeachment debate, we were told that it would only move ahead with bipartisan support in Congress and significant support from the American people. Which, by the way, some people are saying, like, ooh, impeachment should go to a full country ballot. No! You want a full country ballot of people who say that they don't even know what impeachment is? Does this mean he's removed from office immediately? The representative. Did I say Republican Peterson? Anyway, whatever. He's a Democrat, but he's a representative. After the Russian investigation, the Mueller report, an official impeachment investigation by the House Intelligence and House Judiciary Committees, we became more polarized and had less consensus. How can it be that after all the testimony, every Democrat thinks the president has committed an impeachable offense and every Republican thinks he has not? I'm not a lawyer and I am not sure what high crimes and misdemeanors are, but I do know that this process has not convinced the people in my district we have impeachable offenses and that the president needs to be removed. I disagreed with how the Russia probe and the Mueller report were handled, and I think it set the stage for the failed impeachment inquiry. The inquiry and hearing have been partisan and have failed in convincing the country while further placating some people who have wanted the president impeached since he was elected. The process has been a mistake, and I will not be whipped in line by my party. I may stand alone, but I stand in good conscience. History will show this to be a mistake, and the Senate will make short work of an acquittal. Wow! What a crazy man. He's like, he's saying stuff that, that's exactly what I said. How did everyone vote one side or the other? That's not true. That can't possibly be the truth, so there's no way to know. Oh, geez. All right, we got to move on. So I guess keep track of the impeachment. All of the people who were pro-impeachment are probably cheering today. Yes, impeachment. It finally went through. We did it. We did it. We did it. And then they go, oh, wait. Nothing's going to happen. Okay. Hey, maybe Trump could set like a record for the most number of times to be impeached. Like we could just do this again next year. You guys hear about Hallmark? Hallmark will reinstate the same-sex marriage ads. The Hallmark Channel, reversing what it called a wrong decision, said it will reinstate commercials featuring same-sex couples. It had pulled following a complaint from a conservative group. An earlier decision by Crown Media, Hallmark parent company, to pull several ads for the wedding planning site Zola, which featured two brides kissing at the altar, had launched a storm of protests. Celebrities like Ellen DeGeneres and William Shatner had criticized the move, and the hashtag boycott Hallmark Channel was trending on Twitter. So they had these ads for Zola, and four of the six ads that Zola put out were for lesbians or whatever. Anyway, and then 1 Million Moms, the organization, not a literal million moms, called them and they were like, that's not very family friendly that you would have two ladies kissing. So Hallmark goes, okay, sorry about that. We'll just pull the ads. And Zola is like, what? That's crazy. And then they tell the world. And then Hallmark is like, oops, just kidding. We are humbled by everyone who showed support, not only for Zola, but for all LGBTQ couples and families who expressed their love on their wedding day and every day, said a statement Sunday evening from Zola's chief marketing officer, Mike Chi. All right. So if you want to land on the other side, head on over to my favorite website, which is lifepetitions.com, because we can see what's trending in the world of life and stuff like that. So at lifepetitions.com, you can grab the petition called Tell Hallmark No LGBT Christmas Movies, if you want that. Hallmark has caved in to the LGBT agenda and the homosexual lobby. In a stunning reversal, the Hallmark Channel has said that it will again feature ads with homosexual weddings complete with lesbians kissing. I just hit my keyboard. Did I mess something up? Okay, we're still good. Like, I punched my keyboard while I was yelling. But it gets worse. In their statement, reversing their decision not to air the same-sex wedding ads, Hallmark said that they will be working with the GLAAD. Wait, GLAAD? Working with GLAAD. To better represent the LGBTQ community across our brand, we will continue to look for ways to be more inclusive and celebrate our differences. This is bad news for families who enjoy watching Hallmark without having to worry about sex and sexual practices which offend against one's faith. Right now, more than ever. I love it when people say right now more than ever. Everything's more than ever these days. It's like, so we never cared about anything. This is the most important election in your lifetime. No, not really. Nothing's ever more than ever. Right now, more than ever, we need to spread the word about Hallmark and ask our like-minded family, friends, and colleagues to sign and share this petition. Maybe Hallmark is publicly saying all the things which the LGBT lobby has come to expect, but privately has actually learned a lesson which they will take to heart after this ad cycle. We call on Hallmark to reflect who your core market actually represents and to step away from LGBT agenda before it's too late to say no to their ever-increasing demands to push more and more aberrant views and characters. Okay, head on over to lifepetitions.com if you want to sign up for that one, I guess. Man was running a marathon, and he happens to run by a female reporter. And we're just going to see what happens here.
A young reporter is going live, covering a popular race in Savannah, Georgia. All is going well. Then the runners start goofing around for the camera.
Whoa, not expecting that.
Nothing has happened yet. So if you thought that something had happened, it hasn't. Just people running around and waving their hands at the reporter.
Too annoying, just having some fun. Then this happens.
Exciting.
Oh. He really did it. The runner slapped the reporter's behind. You can see the shocked look on her face.
It's very exciting.
23-year-old reporter Alex Bozargian maintained her composure, but she really let him have it on social media. To the man who smacked my butt on live TV, you violated, objectified, and embarrassed me. No woman should ever have to put up with this at work or anywhere. Do better. So, who was that obnoxious?
A runner who smacked a reporter's backside on air now faces charges. A man is accused of slapping a news reporter on the backside while she was reporting live in Savannah, Georgia last week, has been arrested and charged with sexual battery. Oh my goodness. Tom Calloway turned himself in on Friday and was released on $1,300 bond. Calloway was accused of hitting Savannah reporter Alex Bozargian. I know that they just said her name in the video, and I don't remember it. Ooh, we should have been reading from this source. Alex is glad that law enforcement is taking this matter seriously. She feels that a reporter should be able to do her job without being assaulted. What? Are you kidding me? Who would believe that? Alex wants to thank the members of the public who have reached out to her to offer support. If this case goes to trial, she will be a witness. For that reason, she will have no further comment until the case concludes, but she does hope that there will be a just result. The conduct displayed by one man toward Alex during her live coverage of, this is the news station saying, during her live coverage of the race was reprehensible and completely unacceptable. No one should ever be disrespected in this manner. The safety and protection of our employees at the TV station is our highest priority. So we're going to see what happens to this guy. What happened is he ran by the reporter, hits her, allegedly. You can't see it on camera, but it's pretty clear what he did. What an idiot. Why would you do that? Like that? You don't think that that's going to be recorded? Are you completely... it doesn't matter. But then everyone's like, who was it? We don't know who it was. So the internet detectives go through all the race photos and they finally find him. And if you find someone in a race photo with their bib number, you found them, right? Because you just look up the race results and that is that person's name. So it was a guy, and he's like, on his Facebook, he's like, I'm a youth minister, a youth group leader at church, and I'm a Boy Scout leader. And everyone's like, huh, makes sense. Of course he would be those things, right? So we're going to see what happens. I guess it's fine. Like, you're not supposed to do that. It's a little interesting that he's getting charged mostly because of the publicity around it. Like, had a runner done this not on camera to someone else, would that person also be charged just based on a witness report? Maybe not, but the thing is, like, there's video of it, so you pick, you as a prosecutor, you kind of pick who you're going to charge, I guess. But I guess we're just going to see how this goes. He'll probably plead guilty, pay a big fine, say I'm sorry, whatever. Speaking of races, we had the Boston bombing guy back in court this week, right? Boston bomber Sazonov, who is being held in a supermax prison in Colorado, was... Oh, wait. He didn't go to court. I'm an idiot. His case was in court. He was not present in court, but his attorney argued that the death penalty should be overturned. In 2015, he was sentenced to death for his role in the bombing of the Boston Marathon. And a three-judge panel at the Court of Appeals has heard arguments Thursday from his attorneys who are asking them to redo the sentencing phase of his trial in which a jury sentenced him to death. The attorney told judges that the trial should not have taken place in Boston because he was sentenced to death 2 miles from the marathon finish line and the venue is still suffering the effect of the crimes. I guess if you're a lawyer, like, that's the best argument you got for the most part. It's like, they were biased because they're near where the bombing occurred. So we're going to see if that happens. Bombing survivor confronts a supporter outside of court. So a survivor of the 2013 Boston bombings confronted a supporter of Sarnov outside court Thursday morning. She was heading into the First Circuit Court of Appeals when the encounter happened. She saw a protester holding a sign that said Free Jahar. She flashed an obscene gesture and said something quickly to him before continuing into court. Then she posted on Instagram, I would like to make one thing crystal fucking clear, sorry for swearing, to the defense and the press who is hounding my family and me this week. Tomorrow, we, those who testified and those who defended him, are in court again, arguing that this asshole did not get a fair trial because he was tried in the same city he tried to destroy is like a toddler saying that he is angry his mom saw him knock over his brother's Legos in their shared living room. Wait. Arguing that this asshole did not get a fair trial because he was tried in the same city he tried to destroy is like a toddler saying he is angry his mom saw him knock over his brother's Legos in their shared living room. Yeah, duh. The mom can't be the judge because the mom's the witness. Well, I guess the brother would be the witness. And yeah, you'd have to take him to grandma's house to get a fair trial. Make no mistake, I will testify again in a heartbeat. But believe me when I say you do not want me to. I was strong then. I am even stronger now. You do not want me back on that stand, no matter the city. See you in court tomorrow. So she's mad. And I can't believe people are actually at court holding Free Jahar signs. Who's doing that still? And there's no pictures of it. I couldn't even find them. Can we get them on the show for an interview? Like, what are you doing? Last night was the Survivor finale of season 39. Of Survivor. Now people go, what? Survivor? That's still on the air? And I go, yeah. Survivor is the best. Right? I haven't watched it for years, but it was like when Survivor came out, I will always say it changed the world. No, the real world was the first reality show. Yeah. And yeah, Mark Burnett had another show in the UK, right? But Survivor was the first reality show that made reality shows go viral. And they can stay on the air for 100 seasons, for all I care, because they're the OG, right? They deserve, I guess they're pretty much the Tom Brady of reality shows. They can just stay on the field as long as they want, and people will just keep watching forever. So season 39 comes about, and they just had the finale last night, but a couple episodes, or maybe one episode before the finale, there was a little bit of drama. There was a guy who was on the show, and a couple weeks before this happened, like near the beginning of the show, This is a conversation that occurred between two girls on the show.
When I first got here, Dan was like super kind and super helpful.
Yeah.
But then one night, like, the hands were wandering.
Was he doing that with Elizabeth too?
With everybody.
Before the merge, I hadn't met Aaron, Elizabeth, Missy, and Elaine. So when Missy and I started talking, we basically bonded over the fact that Dan has been extremely inappropriate. Day one, I refused to sleep next to Dan. Like, literally everyone's like, Kelly doesn't like touching people. You know why I don't like touching people? Because Dan kept touching me. And so then I had to be like, I don't like touching people. Like, please don't touch me. And he still touches me. Even yesterday, he was like, took my hair and like, went like this. Like,
this
taking a little,
video
like,
of it.
Don't touch my face. Tommy put this arm around me. And it's
why would you do that? You just walk up to someone and you're like, I'm just going to take your hair. I'm going to tuck it behind your ear for you. You're welcome.
Yeah, it's fine. It's different.
And but like, he's not like this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you touching my rib cage? Like, or why like, is that necessary?
Yeah, like, it's a game, so I'm assuming nobody would want to say something because you can't make a scene, right?
Yeah. It's super upsetting because it's like, you can't do anything about it. There are always consequences for standing up. This happens in real life and work settings.
Okay, so Dan being a real creeper to this Asian and, you know, all the girls apparently on Survivor. Happens early in the show. This video is posted November 13th. So like a month ago. I don't know. So in game days, that's probably like 12 days. Here's the video from one of the most recent episodes.
We don't really know what's going on.
So the host of Survivor visits camp. This is Jeff Probst, who has been the host of Survivor since the beginning. Everyone loves him. And I can't believe he's still doing it, right? But, you know, these hosts do their job for a long, long time. But this isn't like an Alex Trebek-style job. You don't just wheel in from your apartment twice a week and go, ah, here's a half-hour show I can tape. No, Jeff Probst has to travel to all of these locations to do the show. So kind of respect for this guy for sticking at it for so long. Anyway, that's beside the point. Whenever he visits camp on Survivor, it's not good or it's not normal, right? You normally only see the host at Tribal Council or at the challenges. He visits camp.
All right, so need to share some news. Good news, bad news, what? My heart's pounding.
Where's Dan?
Okay.
Where's Dan?
So I just spoke privately with Dan, and I want to update you guys. A decision has been made, and Dan will not be returning to the game. He won't be coming back to camp. He won't be on the jury. He's gone.
Dan's been removed from the game. Not even go to the jury. Nothing. So, in my opinion, very real world thing.
So Jeff comes to camp, says Dan is out of the game. No more info. And then all they flash to the viewers at home is Dan was removed from the game after a report of another incident which happened off camera and did not involve a player. So the story is that like after a challenge or something, Dan, whoever this guy is, got onto like the boat to go back to camp and touched a female crew member's leg. And he was it. Dan Spilo is breaking his silence after his controversial time on Survivor and apologizing that his actions made other contestants feel uncomfortable. Wait a minute. That's not a real apology. He was removed from the game on day 36, which, by the way, the game is only 39 days long. So he was at the end. And that's how you F it up? On day 36, after an incident in which he touched a female producer's thigh as he was getting into a transport boat, weeks after he was accused of inappropriately touching contestant Kelly. I am deeply sorry for how my actions affected Kelly during the taping of this season of Survivor. He writes in an exclusive statement to People magazine. After apologizing at the Tribal Council when I first learned that Kelly was uncomfortable, I want to make sure I do so again clearly and unambiguously. I truly regret that anyone was made to feel uncomfortable by my behavior. In my life, I've always tried to treat others with decency, integrity, and kindness. I can only hope that my actions in the future can help me to make amends and show me to be the kind of father, husband, colleague, and friend that I always aim to be. This is the first time that he's spoken out since his ouster from the show. Sources close to Dan tell People that he had planned to address the controversy during the show's live finale, but he was uninvited from the show. So he's not even allowed to go to the reunion of the show. So this has never happened before where someone's had to be ejected from the game for behavior, right? And everyone's like, well, why wasn't he ejected earlier in the season when he's being all freaking weird with Kelly? And I'm like, I guess, good point. On the other hand, like, being creepy isn't against the law. And it is a game, and as long as you're not assaulting anyone, you're a dick. But they might have, like, a legal issue if they remove someone from the game for not doing something blatantly illegal. I guess maybe it is assault if you brush someone's hair and they don't want you to. I don't know. Right? So that's bad. And like maybe he is an asshole, or maybe he just doesn't realize that what he's doing is making people uncomfortable, but still, that's pretty stupid. Like, I'm going over the line of commentary here. This is dumb. Good, he's gone. I'm sure he was a jerk. No one else made those girls feel weird, right? Now, everyone might be going, like, has this never happened before? What about Richard Hatch and that time he was on the beam, right? So way back in the day, they had Survivor All-Stars, and they had Richard Hatch back. Now, Richard was the original Survivor winner, and he was famous, LOLOL, for walking around camp naked all the time, which maybe they should have just put the kiboshigo on that. On that early on and been like, no, you can't be naked. It's indecent exposure. It would be indecent exposure in downtown New York. It's indecent exposure on Survivor. Sure, we get it. You have to shower and go to the bathroom. It's Survivor, but you can't be walking around, okay? Stop being weird. Anyway, he comes back for Survivor All-Stars. They're doing this challenge where you have to walk on these beams, these balance beams in the lake, from pole to pole. Like, you have to walk on the beam to the next platform, right? And you have to get through the maze of poles or whatever quick and grab your stuff, right? So Richard Hatch is coming across a beam, and Sue stands waiting to get on the same balance beam once he's done. She's sort of in his way, but not a ton. But as he exits the beam and he gets onto the platform, he rubs his front of his body up against Sue, right? And if you watch the video footage, you could say, well, he lost his balance a little bit, or she's sort of crowding the platform. So he did that. But it appeared, maybe, that he like could have controlled it a little more than he did. This upset Sue. And again, this was back in years ago, back before this whole thing was so much in the media, and here's what happened.
Before we get to today's challenge, I want to address something that happened yesterday. Richard Hatch, sort of being inappropriate.
Sort of.
So this was the first ever hashtag Me Too moment on Survivor, I guess, way back in the original All-Stars. Like, if this had happened today, people would be, they'd be blowing up. They'd be like, Richard Hatch needs to go to jail.
Yeah.
Anybody have any?
Not saying that that's bad or good. I'm just saying that's how it is now, and it was different back then.
Sort of. Yeah.
Anybody have any comments?
I was sexually violated. To have some guy come up, he passed a half a dozen people on platforms and never touched them.
Sue, I'm...
And it went too far, and he crossed the line, and he crossed the line with me.
Well...
Okay, I know you don't know. And you didn't see it because his back was to you, and he's too big of a... slab to see around. I was violated, humiliated, dehumanized, and totally spent, Jeff. It wasn't sort of, Jeff, because your fist back was to you, Jeff. That's all I'm saying, and I'm spent, and I'm done with this game. There's no way I can continue with my emotions pushed to the ground that much.
So she quits the game right there. Now, Richard had been voted out the night before for game-related reasons. They said, well, we're voting him out. So he was gone. It's not like Sue quit the game to get away from Richard. Sue just quit the game. She said, this sucks. I can't believe that happened. I'm quitting. Chet asks, when was this originally aired? This was 2004. So we're talking over 15 years ago now that that happened. And it was sort of brushed off. Like, it was a big deal, but it wasn't a big deal, let's say. So anyway, that happened. And then you guys excited for the 40th season of Survivor coming up later? This is where they're going to have all former winners.
If being crowned the winner and earning $1 million in the process is not enough to inspire you, how about $2 million?
Ooh, yay, exciting!
Let the fireworks begin.
So next season of Survivor is season 40, where they're having former winners come back. It's kind of like the Hunger Games. This quarter quell thingamajig is going to be all the former winners. Multiple U.S. families have reported incidents of the Ring security camera systems being hacked, raising questions as to whether the systems are allowing hackers to access people's homes without ever having to set foot inside. Raising questions? Of if they're able to, or proving that they're able to. Owners of Ring security cameras in Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, and Texas have reported incidents where hackers tormented families with racial slurs, encouraged children into destructive behavior, and demanded a ransom in Bitcoin.
Into Ring home security systems.
Taking pictures of the baby, I'm asleep.
Using the popular device to spy on.
What?
And even extort residents.
Pay this 50 Bitcoin ransom or else you will get terminated yourself right now.
What? So these security systems are like the cameras that Puke has in his house, where you can activate the microphone and the speaker and you can just talk over the internet using the speaker on the camera. So people are breaking in, hacking these whatever, probably weak password systems, and then just talking to kids over the thing.
In Kansas, someone peering into the Norris family's living room.
The f*** back down.
Commenting on their every move.
That tree is looking really, really good, guys.
Huh?
No, put me down. Put me down. I have feelings.
Put me down. They pick up the camera, and the hacker goes, no, put me down. Put me down. That's so funny.
Still creeped out. She couldn't fall asleep that night.
And in Connecticut, this hacker's voice...
Can you come here? I can't hear you.
Following a woman...
Hey, come here!
From room to room.
I feel violated. Somebody was looking...
That's not a woman.
...at my home, looking at my family, watching us.
Ring saying in a statement, we have no evidence of an unauthorized intrusion or compromise of Ring's systems or network, with experts explaining this is all part of a larger security issue impacting the ever-growing market for home devices connected to the internet.
It's not a breach of Ring accounts. It's that they're finding breached passwords and usernames from other incidents totally unrelated. And then checking to
exactly.
See if users of Ring accounts have reused passwords on multiple services.
And Ring says there are several things you can do to protect.
Right. So I'm not sure how Ring itself works, but most likely. So this is Ring is one of the cams companies that has really pushed a lot of marketing, which means they're going to have a lot more adoption mainstream, which means you need your stuff to be family friendly and no lesbians. No, user friendly is what I meant to say. Say my security cam, Amcrest, not the easiest to use from a user perspective, let's say, right? I just had to replace the SD card because it just went bad. And in order to get a new one in there, I got to go to the IP address of the camera, log in, reformat the card. The software is kind of clunky, not great. But with Ring, you're going to have to make it super easy or you're not going to have the mass adoption you want with the amount of money you're pouring into this marketing, right? So most likely what happens is that you just log into ring.com and you access your devices right up there. Boom. Everyone would love that. Only problem is people use stupid passwords like 123, I love my kid. and they reuse it. That gets hacked one place. They go try the same email address and password on ring.com. They get in and they just access the people's security cam and talk to their kids, right? Use strong passwords, use a good password manager, and this will not happen, right? For the most part, good passwords that are not compromised is enough security. You guys excited? Greta Thunberg, the soft-spoken Swedish teenager who became a global conscience for climate change and environmental activism, has been named Time Magazine's Person of the Year for 2019. The magazine announced the 16-year-old as its choice Wednesday exclusively on the Today Show. She became the biggest voice on the biggest issue facing the planet this year, coming from essentially nowhere to lead a worldwide movement, Time editor-in-chief Edward Felsenthal told the show, adding that Thunberg is the magazine's youngest choice ever to be named Person of the Year. Thunberg quickly bloomed into one of the world's most notable climate change activists, sparking a collective movement to fight the issue after protesting alone outside the Swedish parliament during school hours on Fridays when she was 15. The teen held up the now universally recognized hand-painted sign that read, I'm not going to be able to pronounce that, but it translates to School Strike for the Climate. So Time has their Person of the Year every year. A bunch of people voted for the Hong Kong protesters. They got a lot of user vote. Time said, no, we'll just make it Greta Thunberg. Okay, that's fine. And if you go, LOL, Greta, welcome to the ranks of Time's Person of the Year, which is Hitler and Stalin. Also, then you're, congrats, you're Hitler. Wait, did Trump tweet that? I feel like someone, maybe Trump didn't tweet that, but whatever. But Trump was Person of the Year in like 2016, right? So who cares? Fine. She can be Person of the Year. She's wearing sneakers on a rock. Those shoes are going to get very wet on that cover photo. Razor blades have actually been found in Halloween candy.
Open it up and there was a slit in it and there was a razor blade in it.
Stuck inside a Reese's peanut butter cup.
You could see a slit where it had been pushed down into the chocolate.
This guy with his camera phone. Authorities are warning parents after razor blades were allegedly found in Halloween candy. This is a Colerain Township, Ohio. We have received reports of objects being found in candy bars from last evening. This is from early November, obviously, as you guys might be able to imagine, because they don't have trick-or-treating every month. As of now, the objects are reported to be metal and similar to razor blades. These reports are from the Pleasant Run area. According to Sergeant Scott Owen, the reports were made by two people who were trick-or-treating together. Police are working to determine where the candy came from.
His family called Colerain police about what they say they found. Police received a second call from another parent who said she found what...
Here's a video of some girl's hand.
...looked like the head of a razor.
She just stabbed herself with the candy?
Daughter's candy.
She was fanning it out and she picked up a Kit Kat bar and there was a blade protruding from it and it sliced her hand.
That mom didn't want to talk, but showed us her injuries. She needed 3 stitches.
We learned later that the two people that found the razor blades know one another, and they had trick-or-treated together and made the rounds through the neighborhood.
I smell a hoax, right? Did these kids just shove those razor blades in themselves and then come home to their parents and be like, the razor blades, they're in my candy. I was totally shocked. I was surprised. I just moved here a year ago. Everybody is really neighborly around here. I was totally shocked, Mims said. Her 14-year-old grandson helped her pass out candy Thursday evening, adding that her home received a steady flow of trick-or-treaters throughout the evening. The world has become twisted, a resident said. It is twisted all the way down to people who want to hurt kids now. That's really foul. Okay, so there were 2 pieces of candy with razor blades and two candy pieces ended up with the 2 people who were trick-or-treating together and nobody else got razor blades? Huh? So you're just saying that one man walks to his door and goes, hey, little girls, you want some razor blades in there? And he drops his only 2 pieces into the 2 people who came together. I don't know about this, but the news loved it. Because the news could be like, oh, it's true. There really are razor blades in candy. We were just joking this whole time. We were just thinking of things that bad people could do. Like when the news comes out and says, after Christmas, and you've opened all of your TVs and your Segas and all of your fancy pans and pots, don't put the boxes outside for the recycling people to pick up, because what will happen is that a criminal will be walking down the street whistling, minding his own business, but then he'll be like, ooh, look at all those empty boxes. That house must have gotten a ton of new stuff, like big TVs. I'm going to hire 5 of my friends and a van, and at night we're going to bust into this house and take a huge bulky TV out which is probably worth less than if I just stole an iPhone because I saw a box outside and it looked pretty sweet. All right? So the news is going to say that too. That makes no sense. Anyway, so the news is like, yes, yes, there's razor blades in the candy. Unless the news planted them, right? This is not a threat. This has never happened. Probably didn't even happen in this case. And the news is also just giving people ideas. Like, bad guys are like, huh, I'd never thought to, like, put razor blades inside my kid's candy. Or had you thought that because my kid's candy, right? Oh, yeah, what if you wanted to, like, never mind. Too much. Or have they thought that because ever since you're a kid and you're going trick-or-treating, the teachers are like, make sure you inspect your candy for razor blades before you just bite right into it. It could be full of staples or drugs or whatever. Got to be very careful. So you grow up hearing that throughout your whole life. And then you get more and more angry at the world. And kids get more and more annoying to you. And you become an old man. And you go, how can I get back at these kids? Oh, yeah. That razor blade thing they taught me about in school. Right? They never teach us anything useful. Here's the things I learned in school. Don't take drugs. I didn't. No big deal. By the way, I always thought in DARE class, the cops came in and they were like, don't take drugs. Don't take drugs. You're going to be offered drugs left and right throughout your entire life. Don't take them. They're bad. And I was thinking in my head, I don't think so. I don't think I will be offered any drugs. I think drugs are about as likely to happen to me as me stepping in quicksand. And I was right. Nobody ever did. So, whatever. I don't see how it's a problem. Anyway, and then in school, they're like, do you want to learn how to do your taxes? No. Here's what you should learn. Stop, drop, and roll. Right? How many times did you practice stop, drop, and roll? I've never been on fire. I've never had to roll. I've never had to crawl out of a burning building. I've never had to, I don't know. Maybe I should have learned how to control my car while hydroplaning, but that ship has sailed. So at this point, we're not learning anything useful with these scare tactics. I've never been kidnapped. Nobody's tried to kidnap me, so I don't need to know, like, how to fight back. They should just separate the kids into, like, okay, you are the ones that look like you might get kidnapped, so you can go to this class, but the rest of you, you're good. U.S. Border Patrol agents have arrested a 16-year-old boy on Sunday who was using a remote-controlled car to transport meth across the border. Border Patrol agents observed a person with two duffel bags walking along the secondary border wall, ducking in and out of the agent's view. The secondary border wall? What? The agent notified other agents who responded to the site. One of the agents spotted the suspect hiding in thick brush near the U.S.-Mexico international border. The young man had a remote-controlled car and two duffel bags in his possession. The agent approached him and discovered he was a 16-year-old U.S. citizen. Questioning the young man and searching his bags, the agent discovered 50 packages of meth. The youth was arrested and taken into nearby station to face drug smuggling charges. The meth bundles weighed 55 pounds and have an estimated street value of $106,000. That's the end of that story. Police are investigating recording devices found at downtown Minneapolis Hyatt Regency. The Minneapolis Police Department is investigating the report of electronic devices found in some guest rooms, and the spokesperson confirmed to KSTP that students from the district found hidden cameras in their hotel rooms while on a school trip. The district said that a staff member who was accompanying the students had been put on administrative leave as a precautionary measure per protocol. So if this person is innocent, that does not look good for them. And the district continues to work with the Minneapolis police. The safety and security of guests and colleagues is a top priority. As soon as we learned about this situation, we contacted local authorities immediately, conducted a thorough property-wide search for unauthorized recording devices. No additional devices have been found. It does not appear that anyone associated with the hotel was involved. So these kids go on a trip, get to the hotel room. They go, why is a hacker talking to me through the Nest camera? And then they go, oh, the Ring camera, right? And then they go, it's a recording device. I made that last part up. See if this has any more information.
A high school field trip turned nightmare after students discovered hidden cameras in their Hyatt hotel rooms. Tonight, Madison School District staying tight-lipped on details, but confirmed a school staff member who was accompanying the students was put on administrative leave as a precautionary measure.
The chat says, I saw someone who should have stopped, dropped, and rolled. He was a drunk guy and he set his crotch on fire at a birthday party intentionally. His friend put it out by stomping on it repeatedly. Yeah, the only time I recognize this ever happening was like one time on Rescue 911, which remember when we used to watch that once on stream, a kid like caught his shirt on fire with a candle and then he stopped, dropped, and rolled and the fire went out, but he was still horribly burned across his entire body. And I was like, well, stop, drop, and roll does not work then, because that looked horrible. And then we had the one time, I guess, where the chat says was at a party and decided he was going to dump a bunch of lighter fluid on the bonfire. And we were like, don't dump all that lighter fluid on the bonfire. And he's like, it's fine. And then it like exploded and stuff's on fire. He's running. That was dicey for a moment there. A dancer strips at a Seattle conference on homelessness and the agency director has been suspended. Performer Beyonce Black St. James danced topless in a sheer bodysuit, gave lap dances, and kissed attendees, according to a staffer at a local housing nonprofit who attended the conference. Kira Zylstra, the organizer of the conference, has been placed on leave as of Thursday, according to the chief of staff for the blah, 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 blah. The department declined to comment further because of the active investigation. She's led the all-home Kings County Coordinating Agency Homeless Services since January 2018, but her job could soon become obsolete as Seattle and King County prepare to replace all-home. Uh-oh. Well, the video has been removed, so I guess we can't just watch it. They had a conference, and they'd hired a large dancer, right? And as part of the dinner entertainment, she comes out and does a lip-syncing performance, takes her shirt off, and runs all around the room. And then they just have to suspend the director because she, that apparently was not supposed to be one of the entertainment options. Some who saw the performance called it fun, fabulous, and a rare opportunity for queer people of color, because St. James is black, to be represented in the sort of space usually dominated by straight white people. Others disagreed, complaining that the show was too sexual and forced people to participate in a sexualized performance without prior consent. And they say, here, this is a video, but it is private. So you guys can look up whatever this lady's name was. Beyonce Black St. James, if you guys want to see some other work from her on YouTube or the other sites that you go to. All right, what else do we have to talk about? We had an interview that occurred with Aaron Hernandez's gay lover in jail.
A never-before-seen interview with a man who says he had a romantic relationship with Aaron Hernandez behind bars.
Kyle Kennedy sat down with the author of a new book about Hernandez and wasn't shy, sharing intimate details about the former New England Patriot and claims that Aaron Hernandez told him about a fourth killing as well. Here's Chief Investigator Cheryl Fiandaca with that exclusive interview.
Let's skip ahead and see what this guy has to say.
We got two bodies, like, and I used to tell him, boy, we should call you AAA. He's like, nah, he's like four. You know, we're sitting in someone, but you mean four? And he's like, yo, he's like, I got four bodies.
Did you believe him?
What we were able to establish is a credible lead that suggests that Aaron Hernandez could have been involved in a fourth murder. If Aaron Hernandez killed four people, he was a serial killer.
Dylan, how?
Ooh, big whoop. Okay, so Aaron Hernandez, remember, the tight end for the New England Patriots, was going to be tried for a murder, right? So he's going to be tried for this murder. He instead says, well, there's going to be two witnesses at this murder trial. I better kill those two witnesses. So he kills those two. Then now there's three murders. And so he gets acquitted of the first, right? I think. The first original one that he was charged with got acquitted, but then the two that he killed for the witnesses got convicted. So either the killing worked, or he shouldn't have done it at all because he got acquitted. And he's like, oh, crap. Well, I could have been out had I not done the second two.
Feels. In a jailhouse interview with Howard, Kennedy said he had an intimate relationship with Hernandez in prison.
One day we were locked in the cell, and he's like, just lay down and close your eyes, shut off the light. And he's like, you know, and that's the first time.
How much of a dark secret was
go back.
This?
Wait, I wasn't done. That's not enough info.
He's like, just lay down and close your eyes, shut off the light. And he's like, you know, and that's the first time.
How much of a dark secret was this for him to carry around as a bird?
Lay down. Turn off the light. Can you even turn off the light in jail? I didn't even know you could do that. This is going to be my first time.
I could tell once he started opening up to me and talking to me every day, I could just see it in his eyes, like he was getting happier.
Oh, look, they're showing a very handsome photo of this man.
He was just being able to confide in something that he couldn't talk to anybody about.
Howard says Kennedy wanted to talk and tell his story.
He was someone who had been denied publicly as Aaron's lover, who he claims had written a fourth suicide letter to him, but that Aaron's lawyer and family prevented him from getting it.
Kennedy says Hernandez confessed to the 2013 Boston double murder.
He seen him go by, he pulled up next to him. He only meant to kill the one kid in the passenger seat.
He told you in explicit detail how he, in cold blood, murdered two people, but he also told you he was prepared to lie before a jury of his peers.
Who comes to prison and wants to admit what they did?
Exactly.
You know, I've lied on the stand 100 times.
Kennedy also.
If I were in jail and they were letting me have an interview, this room looks pretty nice, right? You got a soft chair. You get to talk to a guy. You get cameras. Get some time away from the rest of the prisoners. I would just talk forever, right? The Batman. The Aurora, Colorado Batman shooting guy, he's got like 5 straight days of interviews on YouTube, or like 5 videos at least, and I feel like they're 6 hours long each. I'm like, I can't watch all that. I just talk forever. Like, though, like, don't take me back to my cell. I have more stories, right? So, I don't know. Maybe he'll come out with a book, but I feel like lay down and turn off the lights was not enough detail for me. Not into it yet. Anyway, I guess we'll never know about that. So Aaron Hernandez, again, the tight end for the Patriots, right? You can look up on YouTube his highlights, which is a little surreal. You're like, Aaron Hernandez highlights. And then you see a guy who was a pretty good tight end or whatever, but now you're like, oh, he's a murderer and a suicider. That's pretty sad. But I'm having a hard time with this football thing, right? We got these people, we raise them from being 5 all the way up to being 15 when they join the NFL at age 16 and say, hey, go bash your head into another man's head 50 times a day. And also you got to be super manly and work out constantly and you'll make millions for our entertainment. And I go, yeah, that's pretty fun, I guess. Right? I don't know. What am I supposed to do about it? But I think about this all the time, and it's very sad that these people end up being so murdery, right? And he couldn't in the NFL be like, hello, I'm gay, like Richard Hatch did. The one guy that did say that didn't get hired to a team. Now, it's probably because he sucked, because he's gay. Duh. Just kidding. But I don't know. I wish that there were another sport that was as exciting to me, but without us having to bash our heads into each other. We got to come up with a new sport. Maybe it's going to be darts. You guys hear about darts? First woman to ever beat a man in a darts game in history. Just happened the other day or whatever. Or no, she won the darts world championships. And then you look up on YouTube, the darts world championships, and that's a surprising amount of people who are watching darts. 16-year-old Carol Sanchez confesses to staging her own kidnapping.
out of the 40th precinct Tuesday evening, with the relatives who spent the day searching for her trailing behind. None of them said a word.
Can you tell us what happened?
Around 11:30 Monday night, Carol was with her mother on Eagle Avenue in Melrose when surveillance video shows four men in a car pull up, grab the teen, push her mother to the ground, then drive off.
She was just screaming, my daughter, oh my God, someone please help me.
Man, the news was so happy again when this happened. They're like, ooh, an actual, like, grabbing. Four people pull up in a van, grab a person targeted clearly, and throw her in the van and drive off in broad darkness. A 16-year-old girl who was apparently kidnapped right in front of her mother staged the whole thing. The apparent kidnapping was staged by Carol Sanchez, who allegedly confessed to it after being reunited with her family on Tuesday. NYPD put out an Amber Alert and flooded the neighborhood with missing posters. At 2:30 p.m. Tuesday, Sanchez suddenly showed back up at the scene and turned herself into police as stunned people on the street watched. Did they really? Like, everyone paused and they were like, oh, it's her! Like, would you really recognize that it was her? Nobody pays attention. Have you ever looked at an Amber Alert and been like, oh, I have to keep my eyes peeled for that person? And then you start looking left and right. Like, maybe there's a hitchhiker and that's the person. I always pull over and I'm like, show me your face. And then I compare their face to all of US's most wanted and Amber Alert things, right? And I go, nope, you're clear. I'm on my way. And they go, but what about my ride? We was at the pole over there looking at her picture and we walked up the block. She was crossing the street to the cop car. I was like, yo, that's her right there. Said Tommy Felisano. She was shaken up. She was bending over, grabbing her knees and discussing with the police. And that's when they took her into the parking garage for questioning. Sanchez was brought into the 40th Precinct Station House, where sources tell CBS 2 she admitted she staged the whole thing with four accomplices in an attempt to run away from her family. All day, residents were worried about Sanchez, kept a close eye on their own children. They worried about Sanchez's mother. Yeah, you scared the whole community right now. So everyone thinks that there's four men with a van driving around picking people up. Sanchez and her family live in Dutchess County, but have been visiting relatives in the Bronx. What? Who cares about that? So she wanted to get away from her family, apparently because they were like moving out of the country. So she's like, hey, friends, you want to kidnap me? So they kidnap her. Then the Amber Alert goes out and they go, oh, we didn't expect that to happen. This is not good. And they have video footage. I wonder what they did. Like, did they just drive her back and say, get out of the car. We're not your friend anymore. And then she had to walk back to the police? Or did she say, I wonder, like, okay, fine, bring me back. It was like a reverse kidnapping at the end. They were like, no, get out of here. We're reverse kidnapping you. You are not welcome here. We're dumping you on the streets. Head on over to newswithnick.com if you want to see the video version of the show. I should have said that at the beginning of the show because now it's wasted. Nobody would ever want to see that. But in the future, you can see other video versions of the shows. On the left-hand panel, type in your phone number if you want to get text alerts of when new shows are going to go live or maybe when they're posted. Should I send an alert when they're posted as well? It is now 12:06 p.m., and I've got to head out at about 3:30 for my company party in the next state down because my department is not located in New Hampshire. My department is headquartered in Burlington. So I've got to drive there and play it up with the big wigs. I'll be like, hey, wigs, check out my wig. Just kidding. That would be crazy to wear that. And then drive back and then finish packing and then it's off to the sanctuary county of Kent, right? Michigan. Anyone else have any topics? All right. Thanks for coming out to News with Nick. Bye.